Like the joke was, it's like everything's gonna be decided by three people in Ohio.
Three
people. Now Ohio is so far out of it that no one even thinks of Ohio.
Now it's Wisconsin.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, we're good.
We're good?
We are good.
All right. So you can just talk to me.
Yep.
We'll edit if something catastrophic happens, but otherwise we'll just have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sarah Rodriguez, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for voters who don't know who you are that well, tell us who you are and why you're running for governor.
So I am the current lieutenant governor here in Wisconsin, but I have spent most of my career in healthcare. I'm actually a nurse by background, and I've worked in so many different roles within healthcare, whether it's night shifts in the ER all the way to being an executive within a healthcare system. And one of my roles as lieutenant governor is that I get to go to all 72 counties. And I have done that every single year that I have been lieutenant governor. And when I talk to people there, they're telling me the same thing, that they are doing everything right, but they're feeling squeezed. And whether that's accessible, affordable health care, cost of housing, cost of child care, we keep raising our taxes to pay for our public schools. I mean, these are the things that people are talking to me about, and these are the things that I would like to be able to address as governor.
Is there a single issue that drives you as a candidate, or perhaps a lane within the Democratic Party that may define you?
I think that I have so much experience within healthcare, which is a complicated space. And we've seen what's happening now in Washington, where they're taking away the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act. So people who are gonna get their insurance on the exchange, these are small business owners, these are farmers, these are people who are trying to make a living. And their premiums are going to double, maybe even triple in Wisconsin. And so having somebody who has that expertise in healthcare to be able to do that here in Wisconsin and actually make a demonstrable difference in people's lives, that's something that I'm really excited about.
How much money do you think you're gonna need to raise in order to be successful in this primary?
So, I've been talking about this with so many different people, and it is going to be millions of dollars to be able to be successful in the primary. But I've got support all over the state. I've got endorsements in all 72 counties. I got the first statewide union endorsement. It's AFSCME, it's the public workers, municipality workers, and was just really proud and honored to be able to get that endorsement and excited about all the support that I'm seeing all across the state.
When it comes to a competitive primary, how do you personally define the difference between negative campaigning versus defining differences between candidates?
Well, we're all gonna have to make our arguments to the voters. We're all gonna have to say what we're bringing to the table and what type of experiences we have that are gonna make us good governors. And I would say for myself, I am the only candidate in the race who's actually been able to flip a district from red to blue. I did that when I was in the assembly. I'm also somebody who has extensive private industry experience, but also has been in elected office. That's a good balance between those two things. I know what it's like to work shift work. I know what it's like to be an executive within a large company. And I know what it's like to be an elected official. You're gonna need all those skills to make sure that you have a governor who's gonna be ready on day one.
When voters are looking at all these candidates, should be thinking more in terms of which candidate maybe has an issue they most closely align to, or is it about electability?
I think it's both. I think you can look at the issues for all the different candidates and see if they align with your values, but then we also have to look to the general to see who's going to be able to get across the finish line in November.
Most of the candidates in this race have connections to either Madison or Milwaukee. What are you doing to reach the rest of the state? Rural areas, exurban areas?
Yeah, and I actually live in Waukesha County. And so that is very different than Milwaukee County. But what I am doing in the primary is I am again going to all 72 counties. We are doing listening sessions all across the state because I firmly believe you can't lead unless you listen. And so that's how I'm doing my outreach. I'm going to continue to do that tour all across the state, hearing what people want in their governor, hearing what's going on in their communities, because all politics is local and we need to be able to listen to our constituents.
What impact do you think Donald Trump will have on this election?
You know, we see the chaos in Washington right now, and I think when we're looking at who could possibly be the Republican governor candidate, that's Tom Tiffany, there is very little daylight between him and Trump. And so if that chaos in Washington could absolutely trickle down into Wisconsin if somebody is going to be electing Tom Tiffany as governor.
When you look at the diverse feel that the Democrats have put out there, you still hear rumblings of other candidates. Why does it seem like people in the party still want a white guy to get in this race?
I don't know that that's true. I think we've got some really, really exceptional candidates on the Democratic side. We've got some folks that have a wide variety of experiences. And looking at all of the different candidates, you know, that's what people are going to have to do. They're going to have to look at their websites, look at their policy positions, and see who's going to be able to get across the finish line in November.
If elected, it's possible you have a Democratic legislature behind you. What's your AB1? What's the first bill you want to sign into law?
So the things that I want to make sure that I'm signing into law are things that are going to reduce costs for Wisconsinites. And that's going to be healthcare costs primarily, but also looking at childcare. We've got other states that we can look at, for examples, where they've been able to subsidize childcare for folks. Treating that as infrastructure is going to be something that's going to be a priority for me.
It's also possible that there's a Republican legislature. What's your history of working across the aisle?
So, coming from a redder community, I'm used to having those types of conversations with Republicans. I represented a purple district. And so my strategy would be to look at things that have wild popular support in Wisconsin and be able to start with those types of things. So whether that is fully funding our public schools, we know that that's something that people want to do within Wisconsin. We want to make sure that we're going to be able to get some relief for healthcare across the finish line. I'm willing to work with anybody who's going to make life better for Wisconsin.
Right now, the Public Service Commission is looking at large utility rate hikes. There's data centers that are popping up all over the state. What's your position on those issues?
So the data centers have to be a conversation with the community. And we want to make sure that those data centers are in a community that wants them. But what we have to do on the front end is to make sure contractually that the energy uses are not going to be borne on the back of taxpayers, that they are going to be investing particularly in renewable energy, and that they are going to be bearing those costs for those energies, because we certainly don't want it to be on the backs of taxpayers.
When it comes to public education, is it simply a matter of investing more money, or does there need to be reform?
Both. We need to make sure that we are investing the money, because what we see all across the state is that there are all of these referendums and people are voting to increase their own taxes, not to pay for a new science lab, not to pay for a new middle school, but to pay for operational expenses, teachers' salaries. And that is just unsustainable moving forward. So we have to put more dollars into the public school system, but we also have to look at reform to make sure that kids are getting the education they need to be able to succeed.
What would you like to see happen with the voucher system?
I think we need to absolutely address the voucher system. We need to make sure that the voucher system is what it was originally intended to do, which was for low-income families to be able to have some choices. And right now, we do not have an income limit on the voucher system, and we're going to be taking off the cap for the vouchers. That is going to be funneling public money into private schools. We cannot afford to have two separate school systems within the state of Wisconsin. So we're going to have some reform in that area as well.
What's your number one tax change that you'd like to see?
The number one tax change I'd like to see is that we look at tax relief for our lower income and middle income families. Right now, our tax system is absolutely skewed toward the most wealthy in Wisconsin. And so we want to make sure that the most wealthy are paying their fair share while we're able to have some tax relief for middle class families.
Over the course of the last year, we've seen the Supreme Court eliminate legislative oversight of the rulemaking process in a lot of areas. Would you like to see a bipartisan compromise to restore some oversight?
I think the Supreme Court was right in terms of making sure we have separate branches of government. We have the executive branch, we have the legislative branch. Let's make sure everybody stays in their lane.
As far as funding for local government, does there need to be more investment, or once again, is there reform needed?
I think both as well. We do need more investment in local government. When I talk to municipalities and cities all across the state, they are really struggling to be able to provide the services that their constituents expect. Basic services. We're talking about making sure that their parks stay open, their public libraries stay open, that there's a public pool that kids can go to in the summer. So we're going to have to look at that formula of how we fund municipalities and cities to make sure they can provide those services.
Right now, we've got active exploratory drilling projects across the Northwoods, looking at different mining projects down the road. What would you like to see happen as far as permitting for those mines?
What I think we need to do is to make sure we have a really good environmental assessment for permitting for those mines, and to make sure that we are talking with the local communities. If tribal nations are involved, we are having those open conversations with them, and making sure that we're not having the environmental impact that would be negative for Wisconsin.
Do you have any concerns about your personal safety in this political environment?
You know, I don't. I love Wisconsin, and I believe in Wisconsinites, and I believe that they want us to have an open dialogue for politics, and so I do not have any concerns about my personal safety.
What's your plan to address the affordable housing crisis?
So affordable housing across the state is something that I've been very, very interested in. I'm actually the chair of the Interagency Council on Homelessness, and we need to look at it as a three-legged stool. There is the legislation that we have to make sure that we have laws that allow us to build affordable housing. There are administrative rules and making sure, like, you know, how you can build, what type of permits that you need, and then there's funding. And right now, there is nobody who is looking at all three of those things to make sure that they're aligned. So as governor, I would assign somebody to make sure that they are looking at housing overall, having a statewide strategic plan to make sure that we have some of those starter homes that we certainly don't have in Wisconsin anymore. If you look at somebody who's on the average salary making $50,000 a year, they could possibly afford a home around $100,000, $125,000. That simply doesn't exist in the marketplace today. So we need to get back to making sure that we are building starter homes with a priority on home ownership, not just rentals.
Governor Evers has got an ambitious plan to overhaul the Department of Corrections and the prison system. Would you carry that forward?
Absolutely. We absolutely have to make sure that we are doing what's best for people within our prison system and correction system, and it needs an overhaul.
Would you like to see any changes to Wisconsin's abortion law?
I would. What we need to do is to make sure that we enshrine Roe within Wisconsin. That's what I've always been really clear about. I'm, again, a nurse by background. We know that these type of healthcare decisions are best made between a patient and their doctor. And Roe has been something that has kept women safe for decades. And we need to make sure that we have legislation to keep women safe in Wisconsin so that it does not go back and forth between, if we have different leaders, between Republicans and Democrats.
All right. Sarah Rodriguez, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That was it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Good.
You are still tethered, so don't run.
Oh, yeah. I do like to run away with these things.